For those of you that haven't heard, or maybe you've heard in the news or in the markets, that there's talk of LIBOR being discontinued in 2021. And some of the regulators have been starting to push, and there's been a lot of initiatives in some of the trade groups to start to move towards successors for LIBOR and making a transition between now and 2021. That sounds like it's a long time off in the future, but as we'll talk about today, there's a lot of challenges in terms of implementing this transition. So it's something that, I think we're trying to make sure that people are starting to focus on sooner rather than later, because it's going to be here before we know it. So what I'm going to talk about today is just give you a little bit of an overall history of LIBOR, what it was, what it is, where we are today in terms of the transition, what's coming in terms of the new risk-free rates that the market will evolve towards, and then what some of the implications are that you should be aware of. So in terms of the history, LIBOR's been around for over 30 years. It started to really gain traction in the financial markets in the mid-1980s. So it started to be used in financing transactions, so loans, credit agreements, notes, bonds. It's used in securitization. It's used for derivatives. It's even being used in homeowners' mortgages nowadays. So LIBOR is kind of everywhere in terms of the financial markets. LIBOR has always historically been based on the rate that certain British banks would offer for deposits from other British banks that are considered to be prime banks, so the highly rated, strong credit banks. When they wanted to deposit their money with another bank, what that British bank would offer them as an interest rate for the term for which they would agree to make the deposit. So kind of think of it as a CD rate. It's what between the two banks they would pay for the deposit of that money. So that was a market that existed, that was used. The banks would lend money to each other through...